Hallelujah. Before I get started, I told, I think Linda yesterday, I said, I think I may do a little advertisement for GMC Church. But it's going to be advertisement, little testimony.
Keep on talking.
Can you do something? Little advertisement, little testimony. You see, first of all, I thank each and every one of you. I'm not going to call you the names because I don't want to leave nobody out, because all of y'all have sent words of praises, words of thanksgiving, words of prayers, and everything that I received just to allow me, give me the confidence, Lord, to just push through. It's because of you, because of God, but it's because of God in you that I'm pushing through the way I am. And I'm going to tell you something. God is good.
Yes, he is.
And I'm up here. If Lord don't heal me first, that I go through surgery the 22nd of this month. But what I want you all to know is, anybody else, when you go into something, and like I was telling Linda the other day, this has been probably the worst week that I've had. And when you can't sit down, you can sit down for a little while, not long, then you have to stand up. And the only way I could get in relief is, I said, between times, I just go ahead and lay down. And that's, but I told Linda, I said, don't tell Sheila that. Because I come in here Sunday and there'll be a bed out here. Just to express the love of we are like family. And I tell you, and it's not that it, you know, has special preferences. They would do that for anyone at God's Miracle Church. It's just the love that's in this place. And when they say we're a family, they truly are family. So I just thank all of y'all for your words of prayers and all that you have I've received coming from you. I just thank you so much. And you know, and one thing I can add just too, because I even got a lot of praise and worship and thanksgiving and prayers from members that they don't know they're not members yet. But I just wanted to let them know, thank God for you. This morning, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. This morning, the topic I'm going to speak about this morning is when the Lord hears your praise. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. That don't get tired in what we're doing yet. That's because I said chapter 20. Don't mean they're not going to read every verse. But you know, sometimes it feels like we are being attacked on every hand.
Yes.
But the good news is that there's victory in your voice. We need to know that this morning. There's victory in your voice. Today, I just want you to know that. There's victory in your voice. Victory can be achieved by your voice. Now, there are people, that I say young adults, who have not been through the experience where you literally are overwhelmed with your circumstances. That's where you're literally overwhelmed by your circumstances, and there's no other direction, no place you can turn to, nobody you can turn to for help. It just continues to stay there and must. It just hurts so bad sometimes. We all had various times been at that situations like that. Well, I'm going to speak of myself now. I have been through times like that. If you can agree, just very good. When it comes to the word of God, everybody got to be truthful to themselves. Because the hurt sometimes runs so deep. And it hurts so long. So bad. There is a man in the Bible, one of the men in the Bible that has been suffering and found themselves in a bad predicament. His name is Jehoshaphat. He finds himself in 2 Chronicles, and this is the first verse. He finds himself and all of Israel in a problem they cannot fix. It came about in the sons of Moab, Ammon, together with some of the Midianites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Now he was under attack, and he was surrounded by problems that he couldn't fix. I don't know if y'all ever been under attack like that or been around problems that you couldn't fix, but I'm going to be truthful. I have. Not just one, two, three times. I have on several occasions. He was outnumbered because all these armies were going to come up against him to attack him. Plus, it had national consequences, too, because they were attacking the whole nation. There was this simultaneous attack so that everything was coming at him from all directions at the same time. Reminds you of Job, doesn't it? And you know when everything hurts because you're just overwhelmed. There is this sense of hopelessness, helplessness that surrounds you. We've just been overwhelmed by life, pain, problems. Sometimes it's finances. No matter how hard you try, you just can't, it's just a struggle to try to get out of debt. Sometimes it's health, where the doctor says, can't fix it. Sometimes it's relationships that just keep going from bad to worse. Sometimes it's a career situation that has you trapped. Sometimes it may be an addiction you just can't overcome. You feel helpless, you feel hopeless, you're overwhelmed, you're outnumbered, and you're powerless. That is where Jehoshaphat, that's his situation, that's his scenario right now. Surrounded on in every direction by the enemy. The enemy is now encouraging and verging on you, and there is no more peace, calm in your life. So that is the problem. We find Jehoshaphat being overwhelmed. He is going to give us today a principle that is simple. All of us have the power to open up our mouth. He's going to let us know that there's victory in your mouth, particularly when you are in a situation you can't fix. And we know that because it was the situation in verse 12. He says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's important. And our eyes are on you, on God. Because so many times, and I've heard it, especially young Christians coming in, they think that it's going to be all right. God has your back every step of the way. But then again, you find out, you know, when you first come to Christ and you believe in God, he blesses you fast. It doesn't take time because you're winning his confidence, and all of a sudden, blessings just don't come as fast. Sometimes trouble comes in the way. Sometimes you think you just got this, you over that, you done that, and in time you get over that, even before that's over, something else comes up. And this is the time where you continue to praise God and lift him up and keep your eyes on him because he is taking you somewhere. You don't know where he's taking you. But he has a place prepared for you. I don't mean in the hereafter. I mean in this life for his work. And tests and trials will come. He comes just to try us, to test us, but see, he can't do anything. Or it shouldn't say Satan can't do anything that the Lord don't first allow him to do. But he has a special job for you to do. Just hang in there, hold tight, and hold on. So this is message today is for, I'm going to say, if anybody is powerless among us, for those who don't have the strength to deal with life as it has crushed and mastered you. This message is for those whose knees are too weak for them to stand on their own. For those who have been overwhelmed by mess and your only hope is a miracle. This message is for those who don't know what to do. See, Jehoshaphat, in verse 3, he was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And speaking, while I'm here, just speaking of just proclaiming the fast, I'm sorry to take breaks sometime, but trying to give you a breather for being overwhelmed. God is just a little warning. I don't know what week, what day, but what came to me during that couple of hours of just praise and worship one Sunday, God said something about cleaning our spiritual house. And one way to clean our spiritual house, and I'm getting directions and putting it all together as he gives it to me, is by prayer and fasting. Amen. So be on the lookout for that. Where's Miss Spellman? She's here? No, Linda, not you. It'd be so that everybody can participate. That's my buddy. So he turns his attention to the Lord because he couldn't fix it. This is Jehoshaphat. He just couldn't fix it. He was in a mess. You always know when God wants your undivided attention. Because there is nobody else you can turn to. Nobody that you can turn to even make it better. All of your options are gone. And you have run out of your contacts. You are desperate. Verse 4. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. God, he is saying, you have to fix this. Because we can't. Earth has gone bad on us. Now, this leads him to a prayer in verses 5 through 9. You're not going to read it, but I'm just going to give you some excerpts to that. This prayer is serious. His problem leads him to open up his mouth in prayer. You know, it's something. When we don't have anybody else to turn to, nobody can help us. We never prayed before, but things get so bad, so let me try God. Let me bend my knees and pray. Always something to turn you to God. Prayer is an invitation to heaven to address something that's going wrong on earth. He cries out God and he reminds God about who he is. Now, and then he reminds God about what he said. First of all, he reminds him who God is, and if God didn't know who he was, then he reminds God of what he said. God knows he said it because it's written. And then he introduces God to the problem he is facing. God will allow you to hold him hostage to his word. But now, if you don't know what his word says, you can't hold him hostage because you don't know what words to use. God doesn't just give you his word for Bible study. He gives you his word to use in a crisis. He said, this is what you said, God. You said, when our enemies come upon us, if we go to this house, this temple, and you would cry out to you from this house, you would hear us. You would hear us to deliver us from, that's what you said, Lord. You would hear us and deliver us. And I'm holding you hostage to your word in a crisis that we cannot fix. I'm calling on you to overrule in this bad situation. So he cries out to God. He uses his voice to speak to God about the need for victory, the need of eternal contact between heaven and earth. He understands that God holds the universe in the palms of his hands. He knew that. And if you go back and read the end of chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles, you find out how Jerusalem, how Jehoshaphat dealt with Jerusalem. He dealt to take care of the sin in the community, because you don't get access to heaven if you're not willing to address the sin on earth. So he addresses the sin on earth, which gives him an access to the authority in heaven. And then something amazing happened. In verse 14, he says, we have moved from a problem to a prayer that leads to a prophet. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehoshaphat. In verse 15, he says, listen, all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the King Jehoshaphat and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, to you do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Amen. So the prophet had to give a rhema word. Let me explain something about this right now before I go any further. You have the graphe word, that is the writing in referring to what is written in the book. The logos word is meaning of what is written, the contents of the writing. What does it say? And what does it mean? Graphe is the fact of it. Logos, which means word, is the meaning of it. Rhema is the word used in Scripture to describe the utterance of it, the speaking of it, the declaration of it to a particular situation or scenario. Like when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he spoke the word. He declared it. The prophet comes after Jehoshaphat has declared what God had said based on what he had previously written. The prophet comes and gives a specific scenario answer to the specific situation. The prophet's word is a specific word about you ought to do, well, what you ought to do, or how you ought to do it in a specific problem, dealing with your problem. That's why it says the Spirit of the Lord came to the prophet, because it is the job of the Holy Spirit to give you your word from this word. What should you do right now about this problem? This is a rhema word. He says the prophet spoke because the Spirit led him. And so the prophet tells him in verse 17, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand to see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Notice the first phrase of verse 17. It says, you need not to fight in this battle, because you may have to fight the next battle. And you did fight probably the battle previous to this one. So don't expect God to fight your battle the same way he's telling you to fight it this time. He may tell you something different the next time. And you say, well, Lord, before this, I did it this way. See, we can't put God in a box. We can't outguess him. We can't outthink him. God already gone down far ahead of us, and now he is leading us the right way to do things in certain areas so we get the benefit from it. See, God has different methods in different situations. What he wants you to do today may be different than what he satisfied you for the other day. He said, well, God, you just have to listen to you, be mindful and be, what's the word I want to use? You have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, put it that way, until this word come to me. That is what happens when you walk with God. Amen. It means to give him freedom to steer you, to guide you, to direct you, to govern you. Now was a problem that leads to a prayer, to voices of declaration of his need for God. Amen. And God speaks now through the Spirit, through another person, to give a prophetic word about the application. Some of you have been in a situation where God has led a person to say something to you about a certain situation, a certain solution, and when you received that word, you analyzed that word, you thought about that word, and it exactly what the prophet says took care of that situation. Amen. It happens to me many times. So look at verse 18. It says, he fell down before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. And at the end of verse 19, he stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. In the middle of verse 21, he sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. Verse 22, when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Now, did you see all of that? You understand all that? Amen. A problem led him to pray. The results in a prophet that brought forth praise. If you want to know God's address, if you want to know God, where God lives, he lives at a house on the street called praise. Amen. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 22, verse 3, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. That is why the Lord says in Israel, chapter 60, verse 18, he dwells in the gates of praise. What is praise? I would put, in what position would you put praise? I would put praise right next to worship. Because he said he bowed down to worship and then he stood up to praise. Worship is my adoration of God for who he is, what he has done, and what I'm trusting him to do. It is the recognition of who God is. That's worship. Praise is the visible, verbal expression of my worship. There is such a thing as silent worship, but there's no such thing as silent praise. You can worship God, but not necessarily praise him, because praise must be audible. When Abraham offered up Isaac, and God says, now I know that you fear me. See, when you worship God, and he heard your prayer, and if my son was going to be sacrificed, and the Lord says, now I know you love me, spared his son, you think that Abraham says, oh, Lord, I thank you. God felt his praise. He probably still jumping. I know how it would be if my son was saved. Man, boy, you'd be, how old are you now, right? Boy, you'd be 84 before I finished up praying to God. I work overtime. And my grandkids, y'all be grown. Praise is a visible, verbal expression of my worship. You can worship God, but not necessarily praise Him, because praise must be auditable. When Abraham talks about Abraham, Isaac, you know that people say, I worship God, but do you praise Him? Is there a verbal declaration of the worship you say you feel deep in your heart? Because if it's worship, unexpressed, it's worship God doesn't feel. If it's worship unexpressed, God doesn't feel it. He knows it. It's there. He knows that it's there, but He don't feel it. But He wants more than to know it. God wants to feel your praise. And Psalms 50:23 says that it is in your praise that God brings about your deliverance. Your deliverance is in your praise. Our victory is in your voice. Our victory, you can't say, it's in your mouth. Every praise isn't the same. Everyone is not going to express it the same way, but everybody ought to praise it in some way. I'm not talking just merely emotional. You know, I've been in places where people try to make you praise. Worship people to praise, making them do stuff that was against their will. I'm not talking emotionalism. Biblical emotion is where you are responding to something and you are responding to someone. Sometimes you got to praise Him when there is no apparent reason to do so. In the book of Hebrews, I think it's 13 and 15, it's called the sacrifice of praise.
Yes.
Because something, and sometimes it is a sacrifice to praise the Lord. Why? Because sometimes things hasn't changed. Things doesn't seem, hadn't gotten any better yet. And you have to praise Him anyway. Job praised Him when his whole world around him was collapsing. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to praise Him even though nothing has changed. And I'm going to praise Him. You know, if that's a main portion, and one of the main things is worship and praise, I can stand here and see, this is your praise, your individual thing. We, years ago, had we talked about having a space sort of like where those drums and keyboard are. But what we said, what's going to come in at one point in time, you're going to find wheelchairs in that corner. You're going to find crutches in that corner. You're going to find canes in that corner. You know, I thought about it, and the Lord allowed me to see something. I had two of those things to put in that corner now, since within the last 10 years, a wheelchair and crutches. I don't mind the sacrificial prayer, the sacrifices of praise. When I think about just 10 years ago, the things that have gone wrong, the things that I suffered, He did it once, He can do it again. I'm standing here right now. Pain hadn't subsided. The numbness is still there. It hurts like all get up. But I'm here to praise the Lord. I'm here to give him thanks. Because I know he did it before, he'll do it again. I have no reason to doubt him. I don't mind giving the sacrifices of praise. Y'all should hear me when the other Sunday when I told them, I said, when you go to church, I didn't come to church that Sunday. I said, why are you going? By the time you leave home, I'm going to start praising. Amen. I'm going to praise until you get back. Amen. Man, I had that house jumping. So much so that the song that I played, I don't know if you remember in the beginning, I could not, as simple as that song was, I could not get the chorus to that song. It had a lot of movement in it. But the end of that praise, I got the song. And I played it last Sunday. Amen. And my brother got on the drums. I said, oh, good man. Praising God is, I mean, if you could understand how God feels. When he know you've done stuff for you. That's why I said, Lord, if you never do another thing for me, I'm going to praise you. And you said with such conviction, God, feel that thing. And that's when your deliverance comes. That's when your healing comes. That's when your circumstances begin to get better. Because God heard your prayer. He heard your worship. And he definitely heard your praise. Something can happen so dramatically to you. See, God know you're serious. When something so bad had happened and God, and you said, God, you pull this thing out from me. You worship him, you tell him you, for who he is, for what he has already done, you just worship him. When you worship God, nobody else is on your mind. That's why I can't understand why people have gods that just they put in their pocket. How in the world can I worship something in my pocket? It ain't done nothing for me. But when you worship the true and the living God, and he's done such great things for you. You know, just join us out. Linda know this. Every time I write my bills out, I praise the Lord. Because I had times where I didn't have money to pay. There were times, even then, that I didn't know how ends was going to be, how the outcome was going to be. I said, I'm going to pay my bills and pay my tithe. I paid that, and sometimes there's nothing left. But you know, we never lacked a thing. The finances were always there. I don't care what circumstance, situation, what comes up, we continue to pay your tithes. And I said, Lord, God, I don't know how. I don't even care. But I praise you anyway. Praise you, yes. Finances has always been there. You know, people would tell you a lot of things. But what I hope that gets through, especially with the people in their 20s and oh, my little girl, she says she is 31 years old. Isn't that something? 21? You don't look, well, you don't look a day over 30. that's my little spiritual niece there. I like people I can talk to like that. Anyway, Linda, Spelman. What are you sitting back there for, Ms. Spelman? You back there? Yeah, I see you. What do you want me to say about you? Church, I tell you, I can truly say that of all the places that I have been, bodies that I have been a part of, I have never been in a congregation such as this one where the true love of Christ abides. Where people will, there's no special eyes or little use. Everybody is equal in God's sight. Yes. They would do anything to help, to promote, to teach. And it's just a remarkable group. I think I'd go and start advertising GMEC. God's me, because they start advertising. But you have to be a part of it to, and be here long enough to see and understand that. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord.